Our Master's Choice by Lucia Osborne. Sri Bhagavan approved of the will designating members of the family to manage the ashram affairs, because, as he said, they would be interested and have it at heart to see to it that it is run as best as possible, whereas strangers might not be so interested. We see the wisdom of it today when temple affairs are entrusted to worldly people and sometimes to atheists. I have known the president of the ashram, more familiarly known as Venkatu, for over 30 years. I could perhaps understand and appreciate him better as a family man, for I know the difficulties of having a family and trying to remain unaffected by it. Venkatu is an exceptionally good and affectionate father, and his deep love and consideration for his children and family is fully reciprocated by them. They adore him. Whatever criticism may be leveled against him, there is no doubt that he is a devotee of Sri Bhagavan and turns to him in surrender for protection whenever trouble looms large. This has steered him and the ashram through many a pitfall. There is a certain amount of simplicity and humility about him, though in certain aspects he can be as hard as nails. He admits in all simplicity some of his shortcomings, of which he is aware. He has no pretensions intellectually. "I am a simple man," he says. In the mountain path of October 1966, page 385-86, the late founder editor of it wrote, "A particular tribute must be paid to Venkatu by the mountain path. When it was still a project in the later part of 1963, almost everyone took it for granted that it would incur a deficit and would need to be subsidized. In spite of this, Venkatu told us that we could go ahead and he would finance it out of the ashram funds. Now the president has been repaid for his faith in it, because the fixed deposit built out of the life subscriptions of it is one of those on which the ashram's new prosperity is built. After all, an institution is ipso facto turned more towards outer affairs, and let's not forget that this is the Kali Yuga when most values show a downward trend. But in spite of that, Arunachala will remain and stand out as the spiritual center of the world. The grace and guidance that emanates from the invisible, all-pervading presence of Sri Bhagavan draws people to in increasing numbers, and the ashram management's function is first and foremost to maintain it as a spiritual center as envisaged by the master. Its influence is spreading far and wide." The late founder editor also once has written, "I would not say Venkatu's management is the best, but there cannot be a better one for me, since he is my master's choice." This applies to all devotees. Bhagavan knows best. The Fortunate Boy by Sain. Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi is well known to all as a great sage, but few know or recall his human goodness, and fewer still experienced his fatherly and motherly love. But one boy had the golden privilege of sleeping with Sri Bhagavan and being tended by him as by a mother. This was in 1920. Bhagavan had come to Skandashram from Virupaksha cave, and a small batch of devotees had gathered round him. Devotees from all parts of India were coming for his darshan. While men could stay in the ashram on the hillside with Bhagavan night and day, women were not allowed to remain there after sunset. This rule is adhered to in Sri Ramanashramam even today. Women devotees do not spend the night at the ashram proper. Sri Maharshi had a younger brother and sister, his elder brother having passed away prematurely. The younger brother, Sri Nagasundaram Iyer, took sannyasa when his wife died, leaving 2-year-old boy uncared for. Maharshi's sister, Attai, took charge of the orphan child and brought him up with loving care. She had no issue of her own, and this boy was the sole scion of the old family. Attai and her husband, who were living in the far south, took this lad twice or thrice a year to Tiruvannamalai to see Bhagavan and his father, now known as Sri Niranjanananda Swami. They were provided the house at the foot of the hill at Tiruvannamalai. Every morning Attai would go up the hill and return to town in the evening, leaving the boy behind at Skandashram itself to be taken care of by the sage. In the night, the boy would be fed by Bhagwan, who would make him lie down beside him, cover him with a blanket and lull him to sleep like any mother her child. Early in the morning, he would take the boy to the spring, clean his teeth with powder and wash his face. Atai would come hurrying up the hill in the morning. Bhagwan, with the child seated on the culvert beside him, "Look, there comes your Atai. Look how she runs up to see you." As soon as she reached the spot, Bhagwan would tell her, "Take your boy, make sure he is safe and sound." This motherly affection went side by side with fatherly strictness. Once Bhagwan gave the boy a practical lesson not easily forgotten. At Skandasham lived a monkey named Nondi, a maimed one, which was the pet of all. Maharshi had ordered that whatever food was served to him and the devotee should also be served to the monkey, and in case he was absent at meal time, then his share should be kept aside and await his return. Then the food would be kept on a window sill inside the cave and the shutter closed but not bolted. This was the custom. On one of his periodical visits to the ashram, the boy had enjoyed his due share and perhaps a little more of the sweet dishes served to the devotees. The monkey being absent, its portion was kept on the sill and the shutter closed. The boy, his greed unsatisfied, went up the window and began to eat out of the monkey's share. Just then, Nondi, the monkey, came, opened the window and found the boy eating his share. He promptly gave the boy a blow on his cheek. Shocked and terrified, the boy cried out and devotees tried to console him. Sri Bhagwan came to the spot, understood the situation and told the boy, "You have been served right. Why did you touch Nondi's share? You had had enough already. You ought to have been contented with that. Do not touch what belongs to others. Be content with what you have." This lesson the boy learnt for life from the words of the Maharshi that day. The boy thus blessed is Sri T.N. Venkatraman. Namakarana. Many devotees have known and poets have sung of the grace of Sri Bhagwan as mother or father, but few are aware of his charming playfulness as a grandfather interested in Namakarana, christening to the satisfaction of all concerned when new additions were made to devotees' families. This natural prerogative which he enjoyed exercising was brought into full play in the successive names he bestowed on Venkatu's children. This series presents a beautiful story revealing the humor and humanity of Sri Bhagwan, who also officiated at the Annaprasana ceremonies of these children and fed them with their first mouthful boiled rice. Even before Venkatu came to Thiruvannamalai and settled down at the ashram in 1938, he used to bring his newborn babes to Sri Bhagwan to receive his blessings and be named by him. When the first son was brought to him in 1934 and placed in his hands in the old hall, and Atai requested him to choose a name for the child, he lifted his head and noticed one Sundara Arya, a shy inmate, unobtrusively entering the hall and said, "Look, there he is. Does he not say, 'Name the child after me?'" So the child got the name Sundara Ramanan, combining Sri Bhagwan's name with that of his father. The next son brought to him in 1936 for naming gave him, as he jokingly said, "No trouble at all, for he had come into the world with a name." The implication was that having been born on Vinayaka Chaturthi day, the birthday of Lord Ganesha, the baby had to be named Ganeshan. The third son was born in 1939, by which time the family had settled in Thiruvannamalai. When the infant was taken to him for naming, Bhagwan smilingly said, "This fellow too gives no trouble. He is the younger brother of Ganesha, and hence he is also born with a name." Thus he came to be called Subramanyam. The next infant, a girl, was put into Bhagwan's hands in 1941. She and elicited the remarks, "Though the first girl born in our family should be named Ayagu or Alamelu, I would name her after my grandmother, who almost sacrificed herself for the family. So, in grateful memory, the child was named Lakshmi. The next baby girl in 1944 was named by Sri Bhagwan as Ayagu after his mother. When the next baby girl in 1946 was taken to Sri Bhagwan, he told the devotees in the hall, "I had given my grandmother's name and my mother's name to two girls. Won't Vengutu be angry with me if I fail to give this one his mother's name?" So this child was called Mangalam. The last baby girl in 1949 was taken to Sri Bhagwan by Sadhu Kumaraswamy and others who wanted to name her Alamelu after Sri Bhagwan's sister and were almost certain that he would make this obvious choice. But when the baby was in his hands and there was a general murmur, "Alamelu," Bhagwan gave a beaming smile and said, "No, no, I have given the name of my grandmother, my mother and also Vengutu's mother. What will poor Nagu feel if I forget her mother? Let her be called Saraswati." Saraswati was the name of Vengutu's mother-in-law. A tribute by Kunju Swami. I have known Sri T.N. Venkatraman from his boyhood. Before he came to live at the ashram in 1938, he was for some time in the employment of Raja Sir Annamalai Chettiar, the well-known businessman and philanthropist. Trained with loving care by Sri Pichwayar, his uncle, he gained great proficiency in keeping accounts. He also learned the art of dealing with persons belonging to all ranks and conditions of life. He was deeply interested in the Congress and the freedom movement. A follower of Gandhiji, he would wear nothing but hand-spun and hand-woven clothes. He keeps up this habit to this day. Having observed his keen interest in the national movement and social progress, I could not help feeling somewhat sad that the young man was not drawn to Sri Bhagwan. This looked strange since thousands were drawn to him even after a brief visit or casual contact. It is reported that Sri Narayana Guru, while visiting Sri Bhagwan in 1922, remarked that for all the rare and tremendous spiritual stature of Sri Bhagwan, the facilities provided by the ashram were poor. He felt that if more amenities were available, thousands could come and benefit by his radiant grace. In fact, Sri Narayana Guru asked one of his followers, well experienced in administrative affairs, whether he could not go to Sri Ramanashram and see that something was done to improve the facilities. This idea, however, was not implemented at the time. But observing the way Sri T.N. Venkatraman administers the ashram today, I do feel that the wish of Sri Narayana Guru has been fulfilled. Sri T.N. Venkatraman's zeal for service for social and national welfare has been canalized and made purposeful and effective in his sustained and thoughtful service to the ever-growing community of Sri Bhagwan's devotees. Under his able management, Sri Ramanashramam has become a spiritual center attracting aspirants from all parts of the world. His simplicity, his charming manners and cheerful warmth in welcoming visitors and looking after devotees have endeared him to all. Some of his personal traits are worth recalling. His desire to keep the ashram clean and tidy, for instance. It's a common sight to see him to bend down and remove the least bit of dirt himself and ensure absolute cleanliness. I recollect how in the old days, Yaipanam Swami showed the same zeal in keeping the ashram premises clean. If Sri Bhagwan noticed some dirt or rubbish anywhere, he would inquire whether Yaipani Swami was not around. Sri T.N. Venkatraman has always been a friend in need to every devotee. He would personally attend and offer all assistance at the funeral of old devotees. When the Mudaliar party, a lady devotee who like Echamal continued to serve food to Sri Bhagwan till her end, was to be buried, as we had no money whatever, he discovered our plight and started a collection with nothing but a towel on his person and within an hour brought some 90 rupees folded in a corner of the towel. It is my humble prayer to Sri Bhagwan that Sri T.N. Venkatraman may be blessed with long life and health and strength so that he may continue to serve the devotees for years and years to come. A tribute by K.S. The Sashtyaptapurti of Sri T.N. Venkatraman is an appropriate occasion for recalling with grateful appreciation his sustained service of over 35 years to Sri Ramanashramam, the earthly abode of Sri Bhagwan and the spiritual home of an ever-increasing family of seekers, all of whom are his children in spirit and in truth. From the rigorous training he received as apprentice and assistant for 15 years under the staunch and stalwart Chinnaswamy, the ashram's first, last and only Sarvadhikari, Venkatraman acquired two fine qualities, humility and courage, which have stood him in good stead during the two decades of his independent service as manager and hereditary trustee of the ashram. If he has proved a considerate and patient host for countless visitors and inmates, and also an efficient administrator utilizing available resources to the maximum advantage, it is because of his natural love and loyalty, the love and loyalty of fellow devotees, and the lesson of steadfastness in service which he had learned from his father and which is the essence of leadership. Bhagwan wanted the ashram to be maintained as a center for the diffusion of spiritual knowledge and a place of sanctity. He did want the ashram to provide scope for the advancement of spirituality. He did want the pujas in the shrines to be properly conducted and the sharira yatra, the minimum needs of the sadhaks, to be provided. But he had no intention of nominating a successor to the throne of transcendental awareness, which he held and will forever hold, not as a man among men, but as the person in all persons. A Tireless Worker by Dr. T. N. Krishnaswamy. Because of C. T. N. Venkatraman's humility, he accepted wholeheartedly this limited but very heavy responsibility and scrupulously refrained from expounding doctrine or interposing himself between the master on the one hand and his followers and the devotees on the other. Because of his courage and firm faith, he fought with zeal and persistence and foiled with the help of the law the clumsy attempts of power-hungry passers-by to capture the ashram and use it for their own personal, partisan and political ends. Thus, two achievements stand to his credit and must be credited to his humility and courage. With humble reverence, he has helped to preserve intact the sanctity of the place, so that sensitive seekers still recognize here the master's continued presence and share his spiritual sovereignty, the power of spirit over mind and matter, which all mankind is eligible to enjoy. By his courage and steadfast strength, Sri Venkatraman has also preserved the necessary, if ancillary, sovereignty in the temporal sphere of the ashram as the exclusive property of common home of Bhagwan's own family, natural and supernatural, of Savaks and Sadhaks. In Sri Venkatraman's spirit, he dedicated service, and in the rapport he has maintained with the large body of devotees, one finds the silent operation of Sri Bhagwan's abundant grace. Vengatu, who will be 60 on the May 23, 1974, has a distinguished record of service. For over 35 years he has been at the helm of ashram affairs, shouldering heavy responsibility without demur. He has no serious problems today, but before he could settle down as the rightful president of the ashram, he has to go through the rigors of litigation. There are many achievements of his worth mentioning. The large-scale expansion of accommodation facilities at the ashram is one, but the most significant achievement is the completion of Sri Bhagwan Samadhi Shrine and its Kumbhabhishekam in 1967 and the construction of the meditation hall in front of it in 1970. The ashram is running as smoothly as ever and it has grown under his care. It is but proper that a function is arranged to celebrate the 60th birthday of such a tireless worker who has always done his best for the ashram. My heartiest blessings to Venkatu for a long life and joy and cheer.